This is File 63. This is Jean McMillan, and I am interviewing David Beiersdorfer at my home, 41 Chatfield Drive, Lakeville, Connecticut. The date is October 30th, 2013, and he's going to talk about his time while he was director of the Salisbury Youth Summer Program. We'll start with the details. May I have your name?
Yes, my name is David Beiersdorfer.
And where were you born?
I was born in Teaneck, New Jersey.
I think I can spell that. And your birthday?
My birthday is May 3rd, 1946.
And your parents' names?
My parents' names are Frank and Beatrice Beiersdorfer.
And do you have siblings?
I have three brothers. Older brother John, and two younger brothers, Frank and Roger.
What is your educational background?
I'm a graduate of Bogota High School in 1964, a graduate of Syracuse University in 1968. I have a master's degree from Central Connecticut State University and a administration degree from Southern Connecticut State University.
How do you spell the high school?
Bogota is B-O-G-O-T-A.
Thank you. Now, you had a wonderful story about how you came to this area. Please tell me.
Well, I was teaching in Leonia, New Jersey, and I thought that maybe I might be interested in becoming an administrator. I had a job interview in Kentuckook, New Hampshire, and off we went for that interview. We dropped my daughter here at my in-laws on Wells Hill Road, my daughter Kara, for babysitting. We went to Kentuckook, and they actually offered me the job. On the way home, we started to cry because we were going to be so far away, not only from my family, but from Nancy's family, and we thought, boy, this is much too much. So we stopped back here to get Kara and stay overnight, and I decided to go down to the regional high school. And I went to the regional high school, and the first person I met was Dick Alto. And I said, I'm interested in a social studies job, and he said, how do you know about this job? We just opened it up last night. This
Perfect.
Makes me a great believer of fate. I was the first person of 75 applicants, and interviewed and got the job, and came to teach here, and met many people in Salisbury and throughout the six towns that really interest me.
What year did you come to Region 1?
1977.
And you stayed for many years.
I finished my career there in 2011 as the interim principal.
What did you teach primarily?
I taught social studies, including U.S. history, civics, and something called contemporary problems. That was a course developed by Doc Stoddard and Andy Casale, two legends at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Doc Stoddard, the principal, taught contemporary problems. He was followed up by Andy Casale, and I was lucky enough to have that assignment in 1977.
You lucked out again.
Yeah.
All right. What did you coach?
I coached initially. I was an assistant football coach and the head golf coach. Then I became the head basketball coach and continued to be the golf coach. Later on, I became the athletic director. And during my athletic director tenure, I was also the cheerleading coach for one season, which was very interesting.
I'll bet. I'll bet. How did you get involved with the summer youth program?
John Monjo, who was the original director of this very unique program, came to me and said that he was moving in a little bit different direction. He was going to go to work for a rescue in Litchfield. which dealt with education programs as well as job programs, and he asked me if I would be interested in taking over for him. This was in 1982. And I was flattered he asked me. I met with the first selectman, Shelley Reed, we talked about it, and I became the director of the program.
Now, this program was just for local, or was it region-wide?
Initially, the Salisbury one, is the unique part about the Salisbury one, that was just for Salisbury residents. But part of that job in 1982 was to deal with a federal program that was administered in Litchfield County, and it actually included all of the six towns in Region 1. So I oversaw that as well, and ran that through Rescue.
And how was it funded? I know how the federal was, but how was the local?
The local one was funded mainly by two families who want to remain anonymous. And they were very, very generous. And the idea was really to help young kids out getting started with their first job. That's where the emphasis was. Mm-hmm. Some continued beyond that first year, and public service jobs and jobs not only in Salisbury for the Salisbury program, but beyond as well, places like the high school and places like that.
What was the ages of the kids involved?
Generally, it was opened up to eighth graders, so an eighth grader is 13.
13, okay.
13 years old. Now, we would have a tough time doing that today.
It's still going on.
Yeah, with the job market kind of thing. Those kids used to be hired by, you know, somebody in the neighborhood to mow their lawn, or, yeah, you know, deliver the newspaper or whatever. Yeah. We wanted them to get more of a first job experience with a boss and working with other people.
Mm-hmm. Were there any, other than age, were there any other eligibility requirements? Did they have to be at-risk children, or could anyone join this program?
Well, we were diligent in pursuing the at-risk children. But it was, as long as we had the money, which mm-hmm. we did very well in the 1980s and 1990s, early 1990s, we pretty much had jobs for anybody that was interested in it.
Girls and boys?
Girls and boys, okay. Definitely.
And how many children in the program then?
Oh, in the early 80s, we ran up to as many as 50.
That's a lot.
That was a lot. And we had them placed at a variety of places.
Name some of the work sites, please.
Okay. The Salisbury Central, Town Grove, Camp Sloan, Housatonic Valley Regional High School, Transfer Station. And we had a great crew on the Appalachian Trail.
You had a nifty little story about Camp Sloan and one of the workers.
Yeah, well, it actually came back to me this summer. I was at the transfer station. One tends to be there more once they're retired. And the Camp Sloan truck pulled up, and the person who was head of Buildings and Grounds at Camp Sloan came over to me and said, "Dave, I just wanted to let you know that you made me one of the happiest guys in the world about 17, 18 years ago." And I said, "Oh my goodness, what did I do?" And he said, "Well, you brought this young man, David Wright, to get a job at Camp Sloan, and he has been with us ever since, first as a summer worker, and then when he graduated from high school, he became working with us full-time, and he is my right-hand man and will be the next director of Buildings and Grounds.
Perfect.
It was a perfect story. I mean, it was the perfect idea about what this whole program was all about.
It actually came to fruition the way it was supposed to.
Right.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great, great story. I was puffed with pride.
Well, you should be. You should be. How were the kids supervised? What did you have to actually do?
Well, my job was to make sure, I was pretty diligent in checking each job site every day. I was in charge of all the paperwork. I collected the pay sheets. I dealt with any problems that were encountered. I reported any injuries. And I also set up programs that, John helped me a great deal with this as well, and Rescue, set up programs that dealt with jobs, how to interview for a job, kinds of things of what to do with your money. We were connected with the bank. Salisbury Bank was great about the concept of savings accounts and checking accounts. So it went well beyond just the 4 or 5 hours that they were working each day. We really wanted to teach them what about the world of work.
How many weeks did this program go on during the summer?
Pretty much from the end of school, mid-June, to mid-August.
Okay.
And we made sure that they were doing productive work.
Oh, yes. It wasn't busy work.
It was not busy work. No. It was. They were an important part of the workforce, and they were trained in how to do certain things, and the expectations were relatively high about what the result of their work would be.
And kids rise to what their expectations are.
The kids were great. And it's interesting because in some ways the more at-risk kids
did better
because they were given an opportunity that they could see that this was going to be a very good experience for them. And we were putting money in their pockets. And
it was real.
And we cared about them, and we often commented on their job performance, taught them about evaluation kinds of things.
Then they were evaluated.
Oh, yes. I evaluated them, and their individual supervisor evaluated them, and they evaluated themselves.
Oh, good.
So that was interesting.
Peer evaluations can be pretty rough at times,
mm-hmm.
because they don't pull any punches.
No.
How were they paid, and when were they paid?
They were paid, I seem to recall that they were paid every week. And they were paid by a town check.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the rate was $5 an hour. So they were making about $100 a week.
They weren't working a 40-hour week.
No, they were working a 20-hour week. In some cases, a little bit more, but most of them worked a 20-hour week. At age 13,
that's enough.
Most of it was most of the work was done in the morning,
eight to noon. Mm-hmm. Were there specific rules and regulations that were formal for these students?
Well, we were not allowed to use power equipment with most of them.
That's good.
We suggested very strongly what they should wear in regard to
appropriate attire.
Where they were assigned.
Yes, yes.
For example, we had young ladies who, and a couple of the young boys working in the daycare center.
Mm-hmm.
And the expectation was that they had a certain dress code that they would follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had regulations like that. They were supposed to be, and almost all of them were, at work 10 minutes ahead of time. We did not want them to be late. If they were going to be late, they had to let their supervisor know. If they had to leave early, they had to let their supervisor know well in advance. I mean, we were trying to teach them that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And that closeout time, if the job ends at 12 o'clock, that's when you end and you start cleaning yourself up if you have to.
Uh-huh.
If you don't you don't stop at 11:30, you know. Right? So, I mean, we were trying to teach them some of the good work ethic.
In your opinion, what was the outcome? Was it productive for the kids? Did it fall by the wayside? Was it, other than the David Wright story, was it generally well done?
Oh, yes. We rarely had complaints about the kids. I think many of them were taught various kinds of skills. Working at the kitchen at Camp Sloan, you certainly know how to mass produce food. Mm-hmm. Kids working with horses at Fairweather Farm. Young men working with good supervisors in regard to how to do carpentry or how to do lawn maintenance and things like that. But most of the most positive thing that they got out of it was the town cared about them.
Mm-hmm. And it showed.
And they gave back from that. And also that they were taught to be proud of what they were doing. And that was a pretty nice thing.
Did you have a dropout rate?
I think in the 17 years that I did it, from 1982 to 1999, I think maybe we had one or two, maybe not even that.
That's good.
And we were dealing with, as you know, in some cases, 50 kids a summer.
Yeah.
So I think that we were very direct about what the parameters of the program were. Mm-hmm. We gave them a starting date and an ending date so parents could
plan accordingly.
Plan their vacation, mm-hmm. you know, maybe late August or whatever. Because most of them did not want to leave in the middle of the job for a vacation because they liked the fact that they were making money.
Oh, yeah.
And doing a
productive job that was valued.
Sure.
It was great for self-esteem. It was great for work skills. It was great for many, many reasons. And fortunately, it's still going on.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the other interesting things about it is having them work at the Grove, having them work at the schools. They understood that things like graffiti weren't a good idea, especially after you had to clean it off.
Uh-huh.
And so they learned how to, you know, let's take care of these places. And they would that would spill over to the friends. I mean, John. By the time John turned it over to me, we had almost no problems with vandalism at the town Grove. And you know, Salisbury Central, I think, has always been, you know, well maintained and taken care of and what have you.
Before I go on to some personal things, do you have anything that you want to add about the program that I haven't asked you?
I wanted to say about its uniqueness.
Please.
And its impact, actually, on the area. This was an innovative, unique program. Mm-hmm. The at-risk kids were targeted, but everybody, it was inclusive to any young person in Salisbury that wanted a job. And I think that was important. I think the other part of it was that towns like North Canaan, Sharon, I believe Kent, they took the model and they applied it to some of their young people as well. Unfortunately, they didn't have the resources that we had from those two very interested families.
And also that you had started the trend, and with the advice and consent of the first selectman, and she was quite influential in getting funds for this, mm-hmm. as I understand from John.
Right.
That, you know, it was something that she felt was important to the town.
I met with one of the families on a number of occasions, but the first selectman took care of things, the economic part of that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
If we had 25 kids employed, we would make sure that we had the money to cover those 25 kids. If we had 50 kids employed,
you had enough
the
money.
Same. It's trended a little bit differently today. I mean, there are some limits, but we still have it in place.
Oh, yes.
That's the neat part about it, too.
It is.
And
it
you
is.
Can see those kids down at the Town Grove doing productive,
yep.
important work.
I was fortunate enough to interview one of the students that went through the program this year at the Grove. And he was delighted with what he had accomplished this summer. And one of my last questions was, would you do the program again? And it was a very enthusiastic, oh, yes.
Oh, that's great.
Which really pleased me.
The other part of it is we also did evaluations.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that wanted to call me, if a child from the program went for a job, they could use me as a recommendation.
Oh, lovely.
And people called me all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's a bonus.
And my thing with those students was, if I'm going to give you a recommendation, you are going to uphold your part of the thing and be great at the job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you get the job, you know, because I want my reputation to be listened to.
And you want it validated.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that was an ongoing part. Even when I left the program in 1999. Mm-hmm. Number of kids after college would use me as a recommendation for jobs and stuff like that. So, you know, and it was great. And John Manjo really taught that concept to me. He was in charge of the work-study program at the high school for a while.
Yes, and he was as enthusiastic about the program as you are. And I'm doing Patty Stevens this afternoon, and she's just as enthusiastic. So it is a wonderful program. Now that you're retired, personally, what are your civic responsibilities? What do you do?
Well, I do a couple of things. I am running for the Board of Education. We'll know next week if I'm on the Salisbury Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on various boards. I'm on the Salisbury Association Board. I am involved with fundraising at my church.
Which is?
St. John's Episcopal. And I've been on the Planning and Zoning Board. I am now involved with the Taconic Learning Center as a teacher. And I'm involved with something called the Civic Life Project. I'm their educational consultant, which tries to get high school students involved with their town and their community, mainly by taking a topic that interests them about their town and community and researching and making a video with a documentary film director. So I have plenty to keep me busy.
Oh, good.
Your name goes out there when you retire, and all of a sudden you have all these calls.
I understand that.
I'm doing things that I want to do and enjoying that. I do miss the classroom, but I have that opportunity with the Taconic Learning Center now. I also truly believe that I have to give back to this community. This community has been great to Nancy and I and our two children. The two kids had a wonderful education here. We love living here. And as I've told my brothers who live down in New Jersey, I live in a resort.
Yes.
And they live in, like, cities.
Yeah. Giving back is important. And I think that you, as a teacher, are a role model for others.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you did with the children as a role model. This is what you're doing now as a retired adult. And the town benefits from it.
Well, we are very, it is a very special town.
It is.
We have such large numbers of people that are willing to make it a community.
Yes.
And are concerned about continuing that as a community.
Before we close, is there anything that you want to add on a personal level or about the...
Well, I think this is a great activity. And I really appreciate you asking me to come to be interviewed. And I would hope that people listen to things like this to not only learn what Salisbury was,
But what it is.
But what it is. And I think that's important.
Thank you.
Thank you.